Amen. I love that opening video there, that intro video where it talks about the table and all that takes place. And I think most of us in here would agree that those are the things that take place around the table. Last week we had the opportunity to share in communion. And man, it was powerful to be able to celebrate what Christ has done. Now, we literally celebrate His death. But also to be able to give thanks. At this time of the year, you know, as Matt was sharing a while ago, it's a time of the year whenever we tend to give thanks. And maybe we're even a little more thoughtful than we are throughout the rest of the year. Would you agree? And so today we wrap up our series, The Table. And so the question today is, who will sit at your table? Who is welcome at your table? And I want to welcome the 231st Military Police Battalion to our services. If you guys would give these guys a hand. Woo! We're glad you guys are here. Y'all give them a standing O, that's okay. So, welcome. We're glad you guys are here. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate your service. We love the military, and we love what God is doing in the hearts and souls of people, especially right here in our church who are military families. So thankful for you guys. And so today, we want to talk about the table. You know, we've been in this series. We talked about the table, and we wrap up today. And so, you know, we've talked about, you know, that there's lots of great things that can happen around the table. There's good conversation that happens around the table. There's food that is taking place there at the table. There's fellowship that takes place at the table. And then there's also the celebration. And so today I want us to look at who will sit at our table. And you can read with me out of Mark as Jesus speaks to a man sitting at a table and then invites him to his table. It says, "Then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. 'Follow me and be my disciple,' Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and he followed him. And later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, 'Why does he eat with such scum?' When Jesus heard this, he told them, 'Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they're sinners.'" I love that statement by Jesus there, because here's the thing, he's speaking to all of us. The Bible says that we've all fallen short of God's glorious standard, which is perfection. Jesus was the only one that was able to live a perfect life and live a sinless life. We have all fallen short of God's glorious standard. We've all missed it by a mile. And so for me, I love that statement right there that Jesus came for me. He came for you. He came for all of us that are far from God. He came for everyone. No matter how bad they might be, or we might think they are, or how bad we think we are, Jesus came for the broken, for the needy. And so he came for those who were in need of a Savior. And so when I read that passage, I'm reminded of whenever I was 19 years old and I was at a service and the invitation was being given. And I remember in my mind beginning to justify and go, well, you know, I'm not that bad. You know, I've never killed anybody. And I started kind of going down my list of things I had not done. But as the guy was continuing to share, the Holy Spirit began to remind me of the things that I had done that needed forgiveness. And so as I listened to this gospel presentation, as I listened to this good news that Jesus could cover my sins, man, I began to listen to what the Holy Spirit was saying. I felt this draw. I just felt Jesus saying, "Mike, I want you. I came for you." And so I don't know about you, but man, when I think about that passage, I'm reminded of how broken I was, how needy I was, and man, how I was looking for truth. I was looking for answers. And I love the story here where Jesus is walking by and he sees Levi, who was a tax collector. And in the day, man, they were the worst of the worst. I mean, they were bad dudes. I mean, you didn't like the tax collectors. Everybody hated them. And so the thing is Jesus would walk by and speak to him and say, "Hey, listen, come be my disciple. Come follow me. Come do what I do." And so Levi would get up and leave. And he would follow Jesus. And so I want us to look at a couple of things today that I think all of us need to think about is follow the Savior. You know, and here's what I want you to understand. You know, a lot of us claim to be Christians. A lot of people claim to be Christians, but there's no following taking place. It's like there's a decision made one time, and, oh, yeah, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. You know, and I heard what Matt said a while ago, and I don't know if you caught this, but Matt said, Jesus came that we might be made right with God. Because see, we still have a part in that. We have to receive, accept the gift of salvation through Christ. Jesus doesn't force Himself on anyone. And so we're given that right, that opportunity to receive what He has done. And so whenever we hear the gospel, you know, we may say, man, that's truth, that I would like to have that. But we don't follow Christ. And so one of the things that we talk about as a church is, man, we want to reach people that are far from God. And we want to lead them to become faithful followers of Christ. That we follow His teaching. So in other words, it means that we would kind of do like Jesus did here. That if we see somebody that is of ill repute or somebody that maybe is not accepted, that we don't walk by them, but we speak to them and we offer hope. That we would do what Jesus did, that He reached out to those that maybe the society said was not good enough. He said, that's who I came for. Those who were far from God, those who were living in sin, those who were literally, man, they were trying to drown their sorrows with whatever. He said, that's who I came for. He wanted a relationship with them. And so here we see that Levi would get up and he would follow the Savior. I mean, what a great example for us that we would follow Him. That we would not just say, hey man, I'm a Christian and that's it. But we'd follow Him in such a way that people know, you know what? That guy's a disciple, or that woman's a disciple, and I can tell that they're a disciple of Christ because they try to live like Jesus did. They try to love like Jesus did. They try to serve like He did. And so when people look at us, do they see us as just a Christian who has a tag? Or they see us as a follower of Christ who tries to live out our faith in such a way that people want to know about who we're following? And so he got up and he followed. And so here's a statement that I love. It says, no one is beyond hope. No one is beyond hope. There's always someone who, I think maybe some of us think, well, he's the worst of all. You know, I don't know about you and your childhood, but I can remember a family, and I tell my boys stories about this family, and I won't give their name because it may be your relatives or whatever, but there was this family that was really, really mean. I mean, they were intimidating. All of them. I'm talking about like the dad was, the mom was, all the kids were. The little girl that was in the thing was intimidating and mean. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like, man, it was like the meanest family. And that family, they just had some things going on. There was this one guy, he was a little bit older than me. His name was Wayne. And he was a couple years older than I was. But he was just intimidating. He was mean. Whenever you saw him, I mean, he just looked evil. He just looked wicked. You know, and so that whole family was kind of like that, it seemed. And so he would literally ride a go-kart through the neighborhoods, and he would slide in and knock their garbage cans over. And I'm thinking, man, he's got the guts to do that in broad daylight. And I'm a little kid, and I'm thinking, man, that's a mean dude right there. And he was known for stealing things and, you know, getting in fights. And the whole family, like I said, was just known for being mean. But there was this hard, rough lifestyle they were living was also devastating to their family. The dad was in a bar that his brother owned. Anyways, he was in there. He got in an argument with a guy. This guy leaves and goes out. He goes and gets a rifle, comes back, and he shoots him right there in his brother's bar. And then his brother takes a rifle and beats this guy nearly to death. And I remember us thinking, man, you know, who would have taken out that mean guy? And then his oldest son, they found him dead in a car where he'd been shot from a bad drug deal. And then it kind of began to go on down that list. And Wayne, the boy that I knew that was so mean and so bad, I remember, you know, him and some other guys were in a car doing about 120 miles an hour one night and hit a pine tree. And he died out there on the road. And so when I think of someone who is, hey, they're not beyond hope, that's one that I think, man, that would be close. But you know what? I wasn't a Christian at that age. And so one of the things I often think about is, I wonder if there were any believers, any followers of Christ, that reached out to that family, that offered hope, that was willing to say, I'm going to take a risk. I know they're, you know, they're mean. I know they're, but you know what? There's truth that could change their life. And so when I think about that family, I think about all the tragedy they had to go to. But what if somebody were willing to reach out to them with this message of peace and this message of hope? Instead of being known for being mean and hard-hearted and harsh, being known as peaceful, gentle, and loving. And so no one is beyond hope. Jesus, he saw Levi, and maybe some of the religious leaders thought, hey, he's beyond hope. Maybe the people that Levi hung out with, they thought they're beyond hope. Maybe they never reached out to them. But Jesus did. So no one is beyond hope. Look at the second statement. It says, Jesus knows how to reach your wayward loved ones. And I don't know about you, whenever I told that story about that family, Many of you guys might be going, man, that's my family. That's how my family's known or whatever. Or maybe that's your aunt or your uncle. Or you, maybe you know someone that you feel like, man, they are just so bad. They're so far from God. They're not beyond hope. And Jesus knows how to reach them. And here's the thing. Jesus will use us. He'll use us to share hope with them. He'll use us to maybe to serve them. He'll use us to speak life into them, to speak truth into them. And maybe if he doesn't use us, he uses somebody else, or maybe even some situation. Even this morning, you know, I had a prayer request. And we pray every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. We have a group of people that meet in here, and we have prayer requests that are put on these little cards. And we pick these up, and we pray over these. And I was praying for this person. And it doesn't have a name. It just says, pray for my strength. I am at my breaking point. And I thought about, you know, God, I don't know what you're doing, but it may be that the breaking point is where you want them. Because they finally realize, you know what? God, I've got to turn to you completely. God, I've got to surrender to you completely. And so I don't know where they're at and what they're going through, but here's the thing is God does. And so God, my prayer is that God will minister to them right where they are. And here's the thing, I'll just tell you this. I know plenty of people that, you know what? God had to get them flat on their back before he could get their attention. There had to be a breaking point, and they realized, you know what, man? You know, I've tried everything else, and it's not working. I need Jesus. And so that's my prayer for this person here. And so let's look at the next one. It says, Jesus sees the hidden potential in the lives of the lost. Jesus sees the hidden potential. You know, I tell our staff, and I've always told my boys this, I said, potential means you're not good yet, right? You know what that means? You know, we talk about what they could be, and we see the potential in somebody. So if your boss tells you, hey, man, you got great potential, that's kind of a backhanded slap in some ways. Say, hey, listen, hey, you're doing okay, but man, your potential, you could be a lot better if you'd work at it, if you'd put some effort into it, if you'd go above and beyond, man, there's no telling what you could be. But the thing is Jesus does see the potential in us. See, we often see the worst in others, don't we? We often see the worst in people, but Jesus sees the potential in us. Even in ourselves, we don't always see our potential. We if you battle insecurity, you always see the worst in yourself. You always tend to think, well, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I'm not good at that. But yet, Jesus sees the potential in us. He sees what we can do. And he looks at Levi, and he goes, you know what? I see in this guy something special. You know, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they didn't see that. But man, Jesus saw something special in this person. And so Jesus sees the potential in the lives of the lost, those who are far from God, those who don't know him. And here's another statement. It says, it's impossible to know what's happening in a person's heart. It's impossible to know what's happening in a person's heart. See, I don't know what's going on in your heart right now. I don't know what you've been dealing with. I don't know what your week has been like. I don't know what you're wrestling with and what's going on. And here's the thing. I don't know, but Jesus does. God knows the heart of man. And so here's the thing. Jesus walking by, looks over at Levi. He knows his heart. He knows that he feels like, man, I'm stuck here or whatever it might be. And he's wanting more. And so Jesus can look into the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, right? And so God looks into our heart. He knows what we're dealing with. And so there are some of you here today that you're wrestling. You're having a tough time. And I know we've got people here in our church. We've got people in our own church family that this is the first Christmas or the first Thanksgiving without a loved one. I mean, they're having a tough time. They're struggling. I've had people even ask me over the last few weeks, hey, will you pray for me? You know, this is my first Christmas without my mom. It's my first Christmas without my dad. It's tough. And here's the thing. I don't know what's going on in a person's heart, but God knows what's going on in a person's heart. He looks into there. He sees what's going on. And so Jesus is able to look into there. And so here's the thing. I'm just telling you, I would think if we know someone who can look into our heart, even into the darkest recesses of our heart, and says, hey, listen, I love you. I want a relationship with you. I want you to come follow me. Then we ought to be able to trust him to follow him. We ought to be able to step in line behind him and say, hey, listen, if he'll accept me, if he'll love me the way I am in my brokenness, in my pain, in my frustration, in my sinfulness, if he will love me the way that I am, why would I not want to follow him? And so maybe we ought to just have that mentality and say, you know what, Jesus, I realize today, you see everything and you still want me. I think back to when I was 19 years old, walking that aisle, and in my mind, you know, what do I have to fix? What do I have to do? And Jesus said, I accept you just the way you are. I will change you from the inside out. And that's the incredible thing about the gospel. God accepts us where we are, but he doesn't leave us there. He loves us enough to take us to the next level. and to begin that healing process. And so there's a couple of other things. Focus on the lost. Jesus left heaven to come here to reach what? Those who needed a doctor, those who were sin sick, those who were broken, those who were lost. Jesus often referred to people as being like sheep without a shepherd, wandering around, lost. And he talked about those who needed a relationship with God, those that had lost their way. And so Jesus, his passion was for the lost. It wasn't for the righteous, it was for the lost. And so for every one of us in here, we ought to realize, you know what? Man, Jesus had a passion for reaching me. He cared about me, cared about the details of my life. And so the focus on the lost ought to be the same for us who are following our Savior, right? So for me, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, and for you as a follower of Christ, for you as someone who says, man, I want to be like Jesus, I want to think like Jesus, I want to love like Jesus, I want to serve like Jesus, we ought to have that same mentality. We ought to care about the lost of our community. We ought to care about those that are wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. It ought to stir in us. It ought to bother us if we don't know where someone's at spiritually. If we don't know that, man, when they breathe their last, they get to go to heaven, then it ought to bother us. As a Christian, as a believer, as a follower, it ought to bother us. And so the thing is when we look at that, there ought to be this focus on the lost. And let me just tell you this. Journey Church, when we planted Journey Church over 13 years ago, our intention was to plant a church that would reach the unchurched, the unsaved. We were not looking to just swap sheep with other churches. We didn't want to just be another building, you know, that's part of the community. We wanted to be a church that made a difference in the lives of lost people. And we don't make any apologies for that. But what we did is I met with pastors in the area, and I said, hey, listen, I want you guys to know, let me tell you what Journey Church will be like. And God had already kind of given me a vision of what it would be like. I said, this is what it's going to be like. And, you know, and I wasn't asking for permission. I was just sharing with them what I felt like God had put on our heart. And that's not arrogantly saying that at all. And I told them, I said, hey, listen, we don't want to try to swap sheep or steal sheep from you. And we dang sure don't want your diseased sheep, so don't send them to our church. You know, we don't want them. And so our thing is we wanted to reach those that had not placed their faith in Christ. And so throughout the years of this church, man, when I see people that have put their faith in Christ, I tell them, hey, listen, you are the reason we planted Journey Church. You are the reason God led us to this place. And so for those of you that have placed your faith in Christ throughout the life of this church and you follow Christ in believers baptism, that is why Journey Church is here. That's why we don't want to just kind of go through the motions and do church. We want to impact our community, and we want to reach our community with the gospel of Christ. And so let me just say this. Anyone and everyone is welcome at the table. And so look at this. It says we are called. Jesus came for the lost. Those who know they are broken and need a Savior. Jesus came for those that are broken and know they need a Savior. And there may be some of you here today. Maybe today you realize, you know what? I need Jesus. I need a Savior. He came for you. Look at this next statement. It says, we are called to be fishers of men. You know, Peter, you know, Jesus is with Peter, and Peter, and he turns to Peter and he said, listen, Peter, he said, come with me and I'll make you a fisherman of men. I'll teach you to catch men, not fish. You know, and so the cool thing about that is Peter left everything. He left his nets. He left everything to go catch souls for the kingdom, to go catch men, and with this hook of the gospel called peace and peace with God. And so the cool thing is Peter would leave everything that he had done, his whole career, to follow Christ. And so Jesus called, he's telling me, you and I, hey, listen, we're to be fishers of men. We're to be reaching out and trying to do everything we can to catch those that we know that God has put us in their life as a place of influence, to catch them with the hook of the gospel, the peace that comes through Christ. It's a good hook. And so the thing is we're to be about that. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I like to catch fish when I go fishing. You know, I know it's really easy to say, you know, we go out there and you say, well, man, you know, I got to see the sunrise. I got to enjoy all this creation. And I know all that's well and good. You know, I mean, I love God and I love creation. I promise you, I love to be in the outdoors. But now, if I'm fishing, I like to catch fish. Don't y'all? I mean, it's kind of a, you know, and we can try to make it spiritual or whatever. But I'm just telling you, I like to catch fish if I'm fishing. And so, if we're called to be fishers of men, then I ought to feel the same way when it comes to following Christ. Say, you know what? It feels good to see people come to know Christ. God, it feels good to catch people with this hope and this truth that you've given us to share. And so we ought to get excited when someone comes to know Christ. We ought to be motivated. We ought to be pumped about someone giving their life to Christ. That ought to be a true celebration. You know, and here's what I love. Next week, we have Celebrate the Miracles. We have one service next week. One service next week. Everybody say that with me. One service next week. All right, that means y'all heard me. All right, and it's going to be a celebration. Say, hey, it's going to be a celebration. All right, only one person got that. It's going to be a celebration. It's going to be a celebration. Let me tell you what we're celebrating. You guys will get one of these as you're leaving today. But this is called our Journey Church Kingdom Impact Report. And what this is, you'll get one of these as you leave today. And what we talk about in there is what God has done in this past year. And we're going to be celebrating that day, what God has done, what He's doing, and what He has in store for us. And so that'll be one service next week. So you better get here early, you know, because hopefully this room will be packed out, you know, be standing room only. That's our hope. That's our hope and that's our prayer. And so here's the thing is we're going to be celebrating what God has done. And even that day, right now, I think we have about 9 people that are going to follow Christ in believers' baptism, that they're going public. They're letting everybody know Christ lives within me. I've been redeemed. That's right. That's right. And so the thing is we get to celebrate that. And so that's someone who's going public with it. Hey, Christ has redeemed me. He has saved me. And man, we want to celebrate that. And so maybe you've never gone public with your faith. Get your name on the list. We would love for you to be a part of that. And so moving on, it says we have to be willing to go where they are. We have to be willing to go where they are. I don't know about you, but I can't catch fish sitting in my living room. You know, I don't have a goldfish bowl in there or anything like that. So if I'm going to be fishing, I've got to go where fish are at. And if I'm going to reach lost people, I've got to be willing to connect with them where they are. You know what? And they work in restaurants. And they work in stores. And they're probably stressed out right now with all the holiday season, everything that's going on. They work in your office place. They work beside you. They're a coworker. They're your boss. They work under you. And so the thing is, there's people like that all around us. And so we've got to go where they are, and we've got to kind of reach them where they're at. One of my favorite things, stories throughout the life of this church, is we were doing a special servant evangelism type thing where we were just trying to reach out to our community. And we took, you know, I think it was candy and stuff like that. And it was just little bags that we put together that says, hey, this is our simple way of saying God loves you and we do too. And so we took it, I think, to maybe some of the places that were working for Valentine's. It was like the florist and the restaurants and things like that that people do. That you know, they just don't get anything because they're working to make sure that you take care of your spouse or whatever. And it may have been something different. I don't remember what it was, but I remember Laurie, my wife, said, "Hey, I'm gonna walk down here to the bar that was at the end of the strip mall that our office was in," and she said, "I'm gonna take them a basket." And I'm like, "All right, well, go on, girl." And so she did, and she walked down there. She walked in. She said, "Hey, listen, we just wanted to give you guys a gift, and just to let you know that hey, God loves you and we do too, and we're praying for y'all." And let me just tell you this. Out of all the places we went that day, the place that received it the most, I guess appreciative about it, was that place, that bar. And so here's the thing is, you know, we went in there, and I'll just tell you what, Scripture says where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. They were more appreciative, and they just thought it was the coolest thing that our church would cross that line, that barrier, to come in there to offer hope and to let them know that, we're praying for you. And some of those people that worked in that bar ended up coming to our church. Some of them gave their life to Christ right here at Journey Church because of Laurie being willing to cross the barrier, to cross the line. And we're going to look a little bit more at that here in a minute, but we've got to be willing to go where they are. It says, this next statement says, we have to be willing to accept them at our table. You know, we have to be willing to accept them at our table. One of our statements throughout the life of this church has always been, you know, it's come as you are. I always ask people, hey, what do I wear? I said, man, come as you are. You know, that's what our mentality is. And so we believe that, you know, that man, when people come through the doors, we need to accept them where they are, no matter, you know, what their background is, no matter what they look like, no matter the color of their skin, it doesn't matter. We accept you where you are. God, He will work on the heart. Our thing is just to show, hey, you know what, we love you and we care about you. And so here's the thing, is we will speak truth and we'll speak life into people, but we have to accept them at our table. And I love the story we're about to read right here. This is Peter and Cornelius. And so here's one of the things that you have to understand. You know, we think there's barriers today to there being unity. There was barriers then. The Jewish cultures, the Gentiles, you know, that was a racist deal going on. And so here you got all this going on, and you got socioeconomic barriers, and you've got, you know, the poor and the wealthy and all these different things. So there's barriers been there. And so what we see in the Scriptures is that, you know what, God can overcome any of that to the point of there being unity, to the point of where people caring for one another, loving one another, no matter what the color of your skin is or where you're from or what your background is or how much you make or how you dress, but that God can bring unity there. Read with me out of this passage here. It says, the next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the roof to the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance, and he saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. And in the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. And then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean." And the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated three times, and then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed, as most of us would be. What could the vision mean? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. And meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them." So Peter went down and said, "I'm the man you were looking for. Why have you come?" They said, We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He was a devout and God-fearing man, well-respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message." So Peter invited the men to stay the night. The next day, he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. They arrived at Caesarea the following day, and Cornelius was waiting for them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. He called everybody together. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up, I'm a human being just like you." So they talked together and went inside, where many others were assembled. Peter told them, You know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me." And Cornelius replied, "Four days ago I was praying in my house. About the same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. And he told me, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore. So I sent for you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you." And then Peter replied, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel. There is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." What a great story. What a great picture of barriers being torn down. What a great picture of God saying, "Hey, listen, man, I created all people. I care about all people. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter if they're a liberal or if they're a conservative. It doesn't matter what they might be. I love every one of them, and I sent my son Jesus to go to the cross to die for all of them." And so when we can get our mind around that, you know what? God cares about all people. He wants to change all of us to become more and more like Christ so that we're following him and we're living for him and we're reaching out to the people around us. There's a couple of things that I love in the story. Number one, Peter, God had to tear down a barrier in Peter. You know, we often think of Paul as being the one to take the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. And he was the greatest missionary, second only to Christ. But Peter crosses this line here. And he crosses over because God had said, "Hey, listen, you are ostracizing a group of people because you think you're better than them." And it's easy for us to read that and go, "Yeah, man, what was he thinking?" But how do you feel when you pull up to the road and the guy holds up the sign that says, "We'll work for food"? Do you think you're better? Do you look at them and you go, "Man, he's probably making more money than I'm making. He's probably going to just spend it on alcohol. He's probably just going to do this." You know, I mean, do we begin to get judgmental about the people around us? Do we drive by a house that maybe it's not as clean as it should be? And we begin to think, "Man, why are they living in such squalor? Man, they must be the laziest people in the world. What if they're disabled?" Do we begin to kind of ostracize certain people and we kind of leave them out of our little world? Are we willing to allow them to come and sit at our table because maybe they're the wrong color, wrong background, wrong nationality? Maybe they're the wrong whatever in our minds, and we begin to say, "You know, man, I just don't really care for those type of people." Pretty much what Peter was doing. God said there's no place for that in the kingdom. But says we're to accept what God has created, and who he makes clean, he makes them completely clean. There's a couple of statements here. It says there are people dying to hear the message of good news. Here, you know, you've got Cornelius, who he's upstairs praying. And man, he's praying to God. He's a God-fearing man. He's been blessing people with gifts. You know, next Sunday we have our big give offering. And you guys probably saw an envelope in your chair when you got here. And everything that comes in through that offering will go towards missions and outreach and ministering to the needs of people around our community and to the ends of the earth. And so, you know, so here's a guy, he was giving to those who had need. And so what's incredible about that is, you know, he was a good guy, he was giving, but man, whenever it came to, hey, there's a message for you, he didn't get arrogant and say, hey, this is just for me, and this guy's coming just to talk to me. He went and got his friends, his relatives, anybody and everybody that could hear this message. He wanted them to hear the message of the gospel. And then Peter could have been arrogant as well. Peter walks in and Cornelius drops down and starts worshiping him. And he's like, whoa, dude, stand up. Man, I'm a man just like you. Man, I've just been redeemed. I've just been saved. And man, I want to be able to share with you how you can be the same. And so here is two people who both of them could have let this kind of go to their head and they could have kind of got a haughty spirit. But instead, they let God work. So I think we ought to have that same mentality. Who can we bring to hear the message of the gospel? And I think we need to be willing to go like Peter did to share the message of the gospel when there may be someone say, hey, listen, man, tell me what God's doing in your life. Tell me how you saved your marriage. You have an opportunity to tell them about what God has done. And so we have these opportunities to share this hope that we have. And so there are people that are dying to hear the message of good news. There's people probably in this room that, man, they need a little good news. They need some hope. They need peace. They don't have peace. They're in turmoil. They're broken, and they want to be made whole. They want to be healed. And so the thing is there's people around us. Maybe it's your coworker. Maybe it's your family member. And I don't know about you, but, you know, maybe you think about, you know, who's that aunt or that uncle or that cousin or that niece or that nephew that you know is not walking with God, is not living for God. And maybe they need to hear what God is doing in your life. Maybe they need to hear about the hope that you have. You know, and we need to be willing to go to them and share with them and tell them what we have found. We're nothing but beggars that have found food. And we're telling them where the buffet's at. We're saying, hey, listen, man, I'm telling you, there's good food here for you. This next statement says, God shows no favoritism. I mean, Peter calls that out. He goes, God does not show favoritism. Man does. God, man, He accepts us where we are. He wants a relationship with us. And then look at this next statement. It says, we're to be in the world making a difference, but not of the world following its pattern. And I know we've heard that statement before, but here's the thing is, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, the pattern we ought to be following is who? Jesus. How did Jesus live? We live like that. How did Jesus serve? We serve like that. How did Jesus worship? We worship like that. And so whatever pattern He has given us, that is what we should be following. It's following this pattern that has been given to us by Christ, not the pattern of this world. This pattern of this world is, you know what, there are different groups. You know, and you know what, only certain groups should mix with certain groups. And here's what man does. You know, we do the same thing with denominations. We always say, well, you know, hey, you kind of think like I think, so why don't you come over here and we'll be this denomination. In the end, there's one church, and it's those who have put their faith in Christ. It's not about, denomination is man-made. And so the thing is, we have to be careful that we don't say, you know what, I want to follow this pattern that man has, but let's say, hey, listen, I want to follow the pattern that Jesus gave us. So following that pattern. I want you guys, if you will, take out your connection card. There should be one of these in every chair. And I know you guys don't fill them out every week, but I'm going to ask you to fill them out today. And I know y'all are going like, wait, he's trying to get information. No, I want to be able to pray for something. And I want to explain it in just a second. So take that out. And if you will, fill out the front of it. Just put your name there in a way to, just your name is fine. If you want to get more information, that's great. And we're going to collect these in a little bit. And so here's what I want you to do is turn over to the back of it and look at it. It talks about next steps. And so maybe there's some next steps that you need to make today. It says, today in this service, I'm committing my life to Christ. There may be some of you that today you realize, you know what, man, I've never accepted Christ. I've never committed my life to Christ. I've never received Christ for salvation. I've never done that. And so maybe today you're going to do that. And then look at the next one. It says, today in this service, I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. Maybe you realize, man, I have drifted. I have gotten off course. I have lost my way. And, man, I know I'm saved, but, man, I haven't been following Christ. I want to turn and follow Christ. And maybe there's another decision. Maybe to be baptized. Maybe it's to talk with a pastor. So look over to the right. It says prayer requests. I just share with you guys that we pray over these prayer requests that are turned in every week, at our Pray First service at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. We pray over them. So what I want to ask you to do, if you're willing to, is think about three people that you know that probably are not following Christ. Three people that are not believers. Three people that need to hear the gospel of Christ. And most of us in this room, to be honest, we probably know 12 people that need Jesus in their life. So what I want you to do, I want to ask you, if you would, just to write their name down. Write their name down. It's sitting beside you. You got to be careful, you know. So, I want you just to write their name down. And what we commit to do is we commit to pray for them. We commit to pray for them. The reason I wanted you to write your name on the other side is I'm telling you this: we commit to pray for you that you will reach out to them. So by having your name, we're able to pray for you as you reach out to them. Or maybe you invite them. I mean, think back to Cornelius. Cornelius, he said, you know what? Man, Peter's coming, so I'm going to go invite everybody, relatives, friends, family, whatever, to come and hear this message. One of the things we challenge our people to do is to invite people here to church so that they can hear the gospel, so they can hear a message of truth. You know, one of the things we made a commitment a long time ago is that we're going to preach truth. We're going to stand on truth. It may not always be accepted. May not always be politically correct, but we believe that it will last forever. And so we're going to stand on that. And so that's one of the things we do. But we try to do it in a way that is loving. We speak the truth in love. That's what Scripture teaches us to do. So I want you guys, if you would, to be praying about, hey, you know, who could you invite? Who could you invite to be here and to be a part of what God is doing at Journey Church? So the three things I want you to do is write down, or the things I want you to do is I want you to write down three names of people that you feel like are maybe far from God. And you're going to pray for them, and I promise you we will. We're going to pray for them by name. And then maybe there's some of you that you're thinking, man, my name needs to be on that list. I need prayer. I need Jesus. You can indicate that over here to the side. Just say, listen, I'd like to meet with a pastor. I'd like to talk with someone. I want to give my life to Christ. And so here's the thing. That's a way for us to be able to pray for you and to pray with you. But I'll tell you this. If we, as a church, would just be willing to invite people and reach out to them, you know, tell them what God could do. But if we would share the gospel, the good news of Christ with those around us, it's no telling what it could do for the kingdom of God. And we've got to be willing to say, God, get me out of my comfort zone. God, help me to overcome any barriers that are keeping me. And so maybe you just need to do a little heart check today and say, God, is there a group of people that I won't reach out to because of the color of their skin? Is there a group of people that I won't reach out because of their nationality? Is there a group of people that I won't reach out to because of how they live, their socioeconomic background? Is there a group of people that I would not invite to come and sit at my table? Then, God, will you do business with my heart today so that I can be a part of the church and the church that represents the God who shows no favoritism? God, will you change my heart? Will you do some spiritual surgery in me? So that I won't sit here and think about people that I don't want at my table, but I'll think about all the ones that I can reach out to invite to my table. Talks about next steps down here today. Maybe for you, choose today to follow Christ. Maybe that's your step. You just say, you know what, man, I choose today to follow Christ. Maybe you're like me. At the age of 19, I heard the gospel for the first time in a way that I understood it, and I chose to follow Christ, and it's changed my life. The second one, that I'll reach out to my friends that don't know Christ. Maybe that's a step for you to say, you know what, I'm going to reach out to them. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm going to reach out to them. And then the next one is to choose to see people as God sees them. That we see them as God sees them. Not the way this world sees them. But we see them the way that God sees them. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes for a second. And maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. Maybe today is a day of salvation for you. I want to give you an opportunity to receive the greatest gift this world has ever seen or experienced. If you go, Mike, that's me, man. Maybe some of you have been churched. You've been in church a long time. Let me tell you, I was 19 when I prayed to receive Christ, but let me tell you, I'd been in church most of my life. I was religious, but I didn't have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That night, I understood what it meant. That night, I surrendered my life. That night, it changed me. And it's been a change ever since from the inside out. And so maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. You've never put your faith in Him for salvation. Is that a decision that you'd be willing to make today? We don't know if we'll get another chance. The way our world's going, you never know what's going to happen. But if that's you, and you go, Mike, man, I want to ask Christ to come and live within me. Mike, will you lead me to Christ? My answer is yes. And if that is the need that you feel like you have today, that you want to accept Christ, that's the decision you want to make, I want to ask you, if you will, just to raise your hand. Nobody's looking but me. Just raise your hand anywhere in the room. Just raise your hand and say, Mike, I want to accept Christ. Anybody. Anywhere. Just raise your hand and say, Mike, that's me. That is my need. I want to ask Christ to come and live within me. Anybody. Right, that tells me that nobody raised a hand, that, you know what? Either you're still weighing it out, or everybody in this room is a Christian. Everybody in this room may not be a follower, but you claim to be a Christian. You claim that Christ lives within you. And so then this would be my challenge to you. For every person in this room, would you say, God, I want to follow Christ, not just claim Him. I don't want to claim Him like a tag or a title. I want to follow Him. And so if everybody in this room claims to be Christians, everybody in this room claims to be a follower of Christ, then let's say, God, I want to follow Christ. I want to see people as Jesus sees people. I want to love people as Jesus loves people. I want to serve people as Jesus served people. And I want to reach out to people the way that Jesus reached out to Levi. Every Christian in this room, every believer in this room, and that ought to be our mentality. God, help me to reach out to those that are far from You, and to lead them to become faithful followers of You. That should be our plea. That should be our desire. Father, I thank You for meeting with us today. God, I thank You that You love us so much, that Your Son Jesus left heaven and all that He had to come here to this place, this broken place, to reach us, these broken people, to offer us salvation and to redeem us. So God, I thank You for Your Son Jesus, who is fully God but yet fully man, who is God with us. And Father, for those of us that in this room that are believers, He lives within us. God, help us to live in a way that honors Him and that lets the world and the people around us know that we are His follower. God, thank You for today. Thank You for Your truth. And God, thank You for what You have in store for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.